Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Three minutes now before 5 o'clock. We are celebrating Italian heritage on the Frank Andrews Show today. About a year ago, we decided that after 4 days of crazy political news, nutty news, crime news, that on Fridays we would try and do something at least a little bit lighter so we don't have to talk politics and lunacy. And because this is the Friday before Columbus Day, we're talking about Italian heritage. Now, I walked into DePietro's pharmacy one day, and there's a rack of books there. And there's two books. One is called Italian Heritage of Dunmore, and one is Italians of Lackawanna County, both written by a young lady named Stephanie Longo, who is on the line with us right now. Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, good. How about you?
I'm good. You said that was your favorite song that I just played, right?
Yes, that is. That's my favorite Italian-American song. It was one that my Aunt Jenny taught me. She said that when she came to the United States with my grandfather, her parents actually would sing that to each other. So it was my great-grandparents' love song, so to speak.
What are the words? What does it mean?
So the song is called La Española, so the woman from Spain. And I think it might have something to do with the fact my great-grandmother's maiden name was Castellano, so it means of Castile. So there must be some Spanish blood in there someplace. And I think my great-grandfather just used to sing that to her just to as a love song. And my aunt remembered that and taught it to me.
That's pretty cool. Now, so Steph, you are marketing director, communications director for Scranton Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am. That's my day job.
Okay. Well, how did this come about that you became a writer of Italian heritage books?
So my actual background is in Italian language and Italian American history. I got into marketing because, unfortunately, there's no full-time jobs in what my true passion is. So I have a really wonderful day job and I have a wonderful night job. My grandfather came to the United States when he was 11 years old. My aunt that I just mentioned was six at the time. And my mother, I remember this so vividly. She took me to Dino and Francesco's in Clark Summit when I was about five. And to try to keep me behaved while we were waiting for food, she took my finger and she traced a map of Italy. And she would say to me, my daddy was from there. And it always stuck with me. My grandfather never made it home to Italy, even though that was something he wanted to do. And I just kind of always was interested in it, and it just ended up spiraling from there into something that's just a true passion of mine.
Now, I'm not asking you about whether or not, you know, you like Christopher Columbus. That's not the point of this program. The point is that in many cases, Columbus Day is a time when Italian Americans celebrate the immigration, celebrate their rich heritage. And so that's why we're focusing on this. So I want to ask you about, you know, some of the history of Lackawanna County. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll do that when we come back, because right now we got to take a break for traffic and weather. And then we'll come back with Stephanie in just a minute here on WILK.
Maybe you'll fall in love with me, domani. Maybe tomorrow night the sun will shine.
On the line with us as we continue to celebrate Italian heritage is Stephanie Longo. Stephanie is the author of Italians of Northeastern Pennsylvania and Italians of Lackawanna County, a book that is the winner of a gold award in the Nonfiction Book Awards. Stephanie, pretty cool. Now, in your research and in your writing, what do we need to know about Italian heritage in Northeastern Pennsylvania?
So in my opinion, northeastern Pennsylvania is one of those places that you don't automatically think of when you think of major Italian enclaves in the United States. And to me, that's an honest-to-God shame because there's so much Italian-American history here that you don't see in other areas. We are in a unique position as well because we have a lot of northern Italians who immigrated here. A lot of times when you're researching or studying Italian-American history, it's Southern Italians that came. My family came from Southern Italy. They came from Campania and Calabria, but the people from Gubbio that settled in Jessup are actually Northern Italians. They come from above Rome, so that is considered Northern Italy, and they brought their traditions with them. And you see that a lot throughout the area. There's a lot of Perugini in this area that you don't tend to think of when you think of the waves of Italian immigration to the United States. You think of the Southern Italians, you think of the Sicilians, but we actually have this really cool Italian enclave here that people don't realize. And I also think it's important for people to realize we have a lot of Italian festivals in this area that are carbon copies of what you see in Italy. St. Ubaldo and Jessup is the perfect example. And again, that's, you know, people from Gubbio, so that's a northern festival. There's only two places in the world that do that. That's Jessup and Gubbio. The same thing with the St. Rocco Festival in Dunmore's Bunker Hill. That's my family's patron saint from Guardi dei Lombardi, Italy. And the only two places that you see that are in Bunker Hill and in Guardia. So you're seeing a lot of festivals that the immigrants brought over that have been untouched for about 100 years.
And of course, La Festa is an institution.
You know, it's a more modern Italian festival. It's a lot different from the actual saint processions that you see. And when I talk about La Festa Italiana when I give presentations, I always say that's the inclusion festival. That's where you're saying, you know, here's Italian food, but you can get non-Italian food there. It's celebrating the fact that we are a welcoming culture of Italian Americans. And I think that's a beautiful thing, too, as we move into a more modern society. So you see the old ways, you see the new ways, and you're seeing people embracing that all throughout our area. We have a very welcoming area in terms of ethnicity, and I think people should embrace that. And I could speak for the Italian community. We do embrace that. We embrace other cultures.
Now, Stephanie, you know, when I think of immigration, I think of coal mines. And I'm just wondering, in your research, was it the coal mines that drew the Italian immigrants, and was it to Scranton? I mean, in my family's Italian heritage, Carbondale played a big role in that, too. So what's the deal with the coal mines and immigration?
So a lot of times the coal mines were the cheapest form of labor, and they were the ones that were guaranteed labor. When I go out and give presentations about Italian immigration to Lackawanna County specifically, I actually show I call it the Italian map of Lackawanna County, because like Carbondale, Jessup, Dunmore, Old Forge, you know, the city of Scranton, of course, there's Italian neighborhoods, there's Italian boroughs here, and they actually correspond, if you flip the map, to the coal vein. And the reason why is because these people had to be within walking distance to the mines, because they didn't have a car, they didn't have money for any kind of transportation, they had to use their two feet.
Now, when you did your research on the Italians of northeastern Pennsylvania, Lackawanna County, you know, when we think of coal mine, you know, I think of some of the little towns down the line here that were like shacks, they were shanties. Was the lifestyle tough for the families that moved here?
Absolutely. The main thing that I want people to remember about the Italian communities here is that they settled in these Italian enclaves. So you'd be coming, like in the case of Dunmore's Bunker Hill, you'd be coming with a lot of people from your same town, and you'd be settling with people from your same town. So people would actually help each other out, and they would be able to ease that burden of immigration a little bit. So say one family needed something, the other people in the community would rally around. There was also a lot of mutual aid societies that were formed. The San Mango d'Aquino one that was in Scranton's Bullhead section is one, and the mutual aid societies were like an insurance policy without really calling it an insurance policy, because people would contribute to that, and if something happened, there'd be a fund where then the people of the society would then be able to help their fellow society member if something, God forbid, happened to them.
Now, when I think of the Italian community, I also think of people of faith, and I think of a lot of what you might call Italian churches.
Yes.
Primarily Roman Catholic?
Yes, primarily Roman Catholic, except that there were some Protestant ones as well. Elm Park United Methodist Church actually had an Italian mission. It's where the former Jay's restaurant used to be, at the top of Lackawanna Avenue in Scranton's west side. There's a Manning's complex there right now. Senator Marty Flynn's office is also there. That actually used to be the site of an outreach of Elm Park United Methodist Church, and it was a specific Italian outreach.
In your book, can you tell us about some prominent Italians in our history?
Well, I think the most prominent one that comes to mind would definitely be Gino Merli.
No doubt.
Telling his story, I think he has such a fascinating story, and I think people need to know who he is, because to me, this man is a hero. And the most important part of his story was that he was so humble, he didn't see himself as a hero. And that makes him all the more an exciting character to tell the story of. We even have a lot of people, too, in this area that are unsung. I was a part of the Leadership Lackawanna Core program this past year, and the team that I was on, our name was putting on the Ritz. We did a historic display at the Ritz Theater in downtown Scranton, and come to find out, that building was originally the Poli Theater, founded by Sylvester Poli, an immigrant from Italy to the United States, who ended up becoming this great theater magnate across the East Coast, building all of these beautiful theaters for people to enjoy. And he's the one who's really responsible for bringing the theater to Scranton. He is the phrase that everybody says, if you can play Scranton, you can play anywhere, was coined in what's now the Ritz Theater.
Now, in your book, Italians of Northeastern Pennsylvania, you just mentioned Gino Merli. I have met him. I have interviewed him many times. I mean this with no disrespect. He was a terrible interview because he was so humble that he wouldn't ever talk about what he went through. But he is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. It's an amazing story. Is the story in your book?
Yes, the story's in the book. I unfortunately did not have the honor of meeting Mr. Merli, but I did meet his wife, Mary, and she was an absolute joy to interview. So maybe she was the voice of that couple, but I met her and Gino's sister, Emma, and they were just fantastic to interview. Unfortunately, both have now passed away, but they really brought his story to life, and they made me have a strong appreciation for him. And seeing his story makes you appreciate everything that every veteran has done for us. But we hail him as, I think that he's the Italian-American story of the area.
Okay. Now, when I went into DePietro's, there's the book rack. And the first thing that caught my eye was your book about the history of Dunmore. How did you focus from northeastern Pennsylvania to Lackawanna County and then down to Dunmore?
So my family actually came to Dunmore when they came from Italy. So I'm a generational Dunmorean, I guess you want to say it. At the time that I wrote the book on Dunmore, I was also the Dunmore beat reporter for a now defunct newspaper called Go Lackawanna. So it just kind of all came together beautifully, and I really loved doing the research for that book as well.
Now, how do people get your books?
So obviously they could go to DePietro's. Tom DePietro is a wonderful friend, wonderful supporter, and I would love to see people go there just to support him. They could also go on my website, stephanielongo.net, or they could go on Amazon. So it's really up to them. If they buy from my website, I could sign it and do whatever they need to do with it as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Stephanie, I love the books. I got them. I read them. They're great. It's great history. I thank you for your contribution, and I thank you for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. Grazie.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Stephanie Longo. Again, the books are Italians of Northeastern Pennsylvania, Italians of Lackawanna County, winner of a Gold Award in nonfiction, and Italians of Dunmore, and more information about Dunmore itself. And you can go to her website, Stephanie Longo, common spelling, L-O-N-G-O, .net, and you'll get all that information.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.